crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Hey, Doc, this is it.
Never mind that.
Why, that's me. Look at me. I'm an old man.
Hey, I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot.
Thank God, I still got my hair. What on earth is this thing I'm wearing?
Well, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Of course. Because of all the fallout from the atomic wars. This. It's truly amazing. A portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
No. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
The flux capacitor storage. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt? How could I have been so careless? 1.21 gigawatts? Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
Look, all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium is available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Doc, stuck here? I can't be stuck here. I got a wife in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
She's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what you wrote here, Doc. I mean, that says it all. Doc, you're my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it just might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
six, five, four, three, two, one, zero, blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Reporting for InfoWars.com. We are here at the Freedom Force International Conference in Phoenix, Arizona, and I'm here with Patrick Wood, author of Technocracy Rising.
Technocracy, in my opinion, is the end goal of the global elite, which I've studied for over 40 years, going way back to 1978. I also discovered, as I connected some dots, that this was the plan that the Trilateral Commission started or kicked off in 1973 when they said they're going to foster a new international economic order. Technocracy started out in 1932 at the Columbia University in New York City. That was the seed bed of progressivism in that time. And later, when Zbigniew Brzezinski, who co-founded the Trilateral Commission, wrote his book Between Two Ages, and then later was partnered up with David Rockefeller to start the Trilateral Commission, Brzezinski was a professor of political science at Columbia University. Brzezinski and Rockefeller together saw that they could use technocracy as a replacement economic system to dominate the resources of the world. The technocrat mind that really is promoting technocracy, and that's not every scientist and engineer by a long shot, it's really a relatively small minority, but their mindset is they don't need public approval to do what science says they should do. So if they can justify their whatever it is they're going to do according to the scientific method, they feel, we'll just do it. That's dangerous thinking, that somebody else would be running your life for you, like they know better than you, and you got no say about it, you know? You can go here, you can go there, you can't go here, you can't go there, you can't buy this, you can't buy that. You know, you have to ride a bicycle to work 3 days a week. I mean, all the crazy stuff they're coming up with, you don't want that kind of control, but they want to do it. They say, well, this makes sense. This is going to cut down on energy. It's going to cut down on, you know, carbon or whatever. What they were trying to do as scientists and engineers, they didn't view themselves as being political, just autocrats. So, you know, we're just going to do it. But their whole thing was that they were going to create a resource-based economy based on energy.
A resource-based economy. This is where all goods and services are available to everyone without money, credit, barter, or servitude of any kind. For this to be attained, all resources must be declared as the common heritage of all the Earth's people.
They wanted to give everybody energy script. They were going to give like an allocation, you know, like we have food stamps today. They were going to figure out how much energy would be in the, like, say, for the next month would be made, generated, and everybody in society would get their script. A scientific dictatorship puts kind of, if you will, an invisible manacle around your neck that will control you from your, it'll control your behavior, it will control your choices. And all of those things are set by policy, by algorithms, if you will.
Oh, it's always on. It uses far-field technology so it can hear you from anywhere in the room.
So it can just hear you anywhere?
Yes.
We partnered with fellow robots to bring you Lobot. Need to find something? Lobot can show you. And in multiple languages. Lobot also helps our team by constantly monitoring inventory.
Somewhere along the line, I ended up getting a microchip implanted inside my hand to see if I could be the first person in the world to pay for something out in the real world. The chip felt to me like the furthest possible extreme of, you know, futuristic technology.
This is your daughter, and she just got this. But you've got Hum, so you can set this. And if she drives like this, you'll get this. You can even set boundaries for her. So if she should be here, but instead goes here, you'll know.
MileIQ runs quietly in the background on your phone and automatically tracks your miles. With one swipe classification, it's easy to sort your trips into personal or business categories.
The state of Oregon is going to institute a GPS device for automobiles that will track your mileage everywhere you drive. And when it gets close enough to a data collection, it'll go boom and collect your data. They intend to send you a customized gas tax bill, a road tax bill. Their idea is to take your carbon footprint, which is derived from other data about you, things you purchased, how big is your house, what kind of cars do you own. They want to take that data and further customize your tax bill. And if you're a hog, why, you might pay double. But if you ride public transit to work and you live in a tiny house and you don't use much water or whatever, maybe only take a shower 3 days a week or something, why, you might get a rebate. The global warming, whole subject, topic of global warming, is not the end. It's only the means to an end. If I scare you to death with global warming, say you've got to do something, you have to do something today, the only solution that there is being held out by the United Nations is sustainable development, which I say is warmed over technocracy. from the 1930s. It's this was replacement economic system. So they scare you with this over here, and they want you to run into the arms of sustainable development. They don't give you any other options.
The Venus Project would start with a systems approach to city design, using highly effective construction methods, emphasizing the conservation of resources.
The first city would be a huge research center, making automated systems for the next city. It would be a place where we would disseminate information as to what sustainability really means for the future.
The ability now to, with one click on an app, customers have access to information that gives them much more control over their lives. And they expect that of a business like ours. They don't differentiate between, well, we'll stick with the usual McDonald's experience, but we'll get great convenience for everywhere else. They're expecting us to evolve.
Recently, some of these states implement these minimum wage, you know, laws where they've increased the minimum wage to as much as $15 an hour. And now we're seeing McDonald's, one of these corporations, and others, talking about that they are actually going to be putting in machines and replacing these workers in order to get out from underneath having to pay them that wage. Is this more examples of a technocracy rising?
The so-called fourth industrial revolution concerns the Internet of Things, it concerns artificial intelligence, and it concerns robotics. And it's expected within 10 years that robotics may well displace up to 50% of all the workers in the world that do anything, especially in America.
Do you want to destroy humans? Please say no.
Okay, I will destroy humans.
Don't destroy humans.
Global companies that are bought into this whole new economic order stuff, the green economy, these are the companies that are going to control everything, and there's not very many of them. The industry's been consolidating for the last 20, 30 years. You've only got like 6 news organizations in the whole world. Now you look at the agricultural industry, you got 6 companies dominating the entire thing, like ADM and Cargill and, Monsanto. There's no competition hardly anymore. It's almost a monopoly. And this is industry after industry after industry. And you look around and you say, man, we're getting squeezed out. Where's the opportunity for a little guy if he has an idea? Technocracy.news is my ongoing saga of curated news from around the world on technocracy. Technocracy is not a myth. It's real. And people need to see this as another, I call it a fifth column of bad actors in the world. They're not politicians. They're not communists. They're not socialists. They're technocrats.
Wow.
And they have a different view of the world and a different agenda that we need to uncover and expose.
Aw, crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Because if we do that, then it'll be used to run the Terminators. It'll end up destroying the human race now.
Yeah, and we're live, too.
Made by the technocrats.
That's right, you're listening to Mad Science at www.shazizradio.com, and that was Thomas talking about the Terminator.
Sick and tired of hearing all this negativity, man.
Yeah.
Let's just get busy doing something. You know what the most negative thing in the world will be?
What's that?
Let somebody else do it because you're too lazy or too scared or too tired or too unwilling to do something. They're going to do it the way they want it done, and you're not going to like how they did it, most likely.
All right, and strangely enough, I agree with you, so we don't even have to argue on that point. While we're at it, you're listening to Mad Science at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html, where you got not one, but two, but three chat rooms to talk in. So, with that said, I played that podcast there about Technocracy Rising. I can't even pronounce it. And also, I posted a couple video links inside the chat room pertinent to today's conversation. One was a YouTuber named The Magnetist. Does some really cool work. I posted a video in there where he's showing some plasma making a little nifty circle, and talked about that too. And also, the last video, most important one I posted in there, is the static motor. Now, we've all seen and heard static motors in the alternative energy community, but this one's just a little bit different. This one's got some serious RPMs to it. I mean, the way that it's built, it's got awesome construction. I'm not exactly sure which country is making it, but I sure would love to get a hold of one for my research. So, back to the beginning again. Technocracy and the doggone Terminator coming to get us, man. Dude. So we got Justin in here, we got Jermaine in here, and we got Thomas in here. So now it's time to get old Thomas riled up. So.
You gotta start two of us off on a bad foot by running a Knights of the Round Mad Science table here.
No, we're not at the Knights of the Mount.
Mixing and matching.
I can't
and
say it now.
Hey, technocracy, dude. That's not too far from democracy or any of the other ocracies out there. So, sounds to me like you're talking about politics, man.
No, we're not.
The politics
about politics.
Of politics of science.
Politics. Anyway, yeah. So basically, what I'm trying to get to here before I get attacked with politics.
I'm trying to avoid politics, man.
Here is that we're standing at the crossroads of technology right now. There's going to come a point when technology is going to get pretty doggone intense. It's speeded up. I mean, look at how fast computers move from point A to point B. I mean, they just like. They're screaming. You buy a brand new computer a week later, it's out of date, and it's aggravating. You buy your new iPhone, and then they'll ship the next one out with the camera in it. It's the same deal. It just had the camera 2 hours ago. Regardless, technology's moving along pretty doggone fast. Now, the technocracy part of the deal is going to be the choice that you're going to make on who's going to be in charge of the technology when it comes out. Of course, they're going to have corporations that's making a lot of money off of the situation. And so they're going to want to have all the information that they can get access to, all the best technology they can get access to. But you got to make a choice some point whether or not you want to be in charge of your own personal technology or you want some company making a lot of money off of you with this technology. Right now, we're talking about the search for free energy. So, what's the big deal about the search for free energy? If I'm paying anywhere from a $400 to $600 a month light bill to keep my house going and all that kind of stuff, that's some money that I could be putting towards a lot of different research or something else that I want. Maybe I want to buy me a cookie at the doggone grocery store or something like that. Can't do it because I got to pay the light bill. Otherwise, the man's going to shut the power off. So the search for free energy has to do with energy independence from me, for me, and you, from the power companies, the control of the power companies. And that's where the research comes in play there. I want to be able to test different things and be able to afford different things without having to ask somebody for money or donations or that kind of stuff. Imagine how I could do if I had my light bill was already covered by everything that nature's already provided me ahead of time. It's already got enough wind out there. There's static energy out there, thermal, hydro. We've named off all the different alternative energies out there, some of which people complain about. Well, the wind ain't always blowing. Well, the sun ain't out. Well, this and that. You know, so while we're standing here at the crossroads with the opportunity and all the knowledge that we've acquired throughout the generations of all of our lifetimes, then we should be right now coming together and pushing as fast and as furious towards advancement in society as technology advances so that we can keep up with the day. You know, it's not like just go out there to eBay and buy some next cool gizmo that comes out. We need to be the ones who are making it the next cool gizmos. And that's one of the reasons why I posted the Magnetist video of his Slayer Exciter and the anomaly that he's watching as that basically it's got an ion drive, a little wire spinning around in circles. It's pretty amazing what you could actually learn from that that ion, basically the corona going around in a circle like that. There is a force within that video that he's showing that can be tapped into in the plasma range. And so that particular video is what is prime example of what it is that I want to talk about on today's show, is that, you know, this anomaly, I posted a comment on his video that said, you know, most people overlook the simple, but as I'm watching this video and I'm seeing that little plasma ring spin around in a circle, I mean a perfect circle too, it's pretty impressive, and determining, depending on which frequency range you're running this at, I've actually seen them doing like a figure eight, so the difference of energies is basically the equivalent of doing some geometry, some math or something like that, where you can sit there and type into computers certain numbers and you can get three-dimensional figures coming up on the doggone screen. It's pretty impressive. So, with a little bit of testing and some notations, paying attention at different frequency ranges, what's occurring, the visual effect that you're getting, you know, science tells us that light is heat and heat is light, vice versa. So we know right now that while we're sitting here watching this ring spin around, we got access to several things. We got light, we got heat, and as he's showing in his video, he put his finger out there and this wire will literally head straight for his finger. It has an attraction, like a static attraction. And so we can take magnetism and static attraction, and we know we got two forces, whether they're one and the same or not, there's still two forces that are causing a motion to occur. So this is something we could actually tap into. Also, he showed in his video that you could take different types of materials and you could note that they would attract to it, even paper. He used paper and it actually attracted to the paper. So we know there's different materials out there. Now, there is a scale of tribal electric materials out there that you can actually look up and it'll tell you the tribal electric effect of each one of these. Yeah, there you go. And so now we know we got different materials that will react in different ways with static energy. Alright? And so where's all this going? With different types of energy that we're using out there. Right now, we're in the stone age of energy. We literally use, and I won't get completely into this discussion, but I have to touch on it briefly. We take uranium, we mash it into a highly refined radioactive material, and we put it in water, and it boils the water into steam, and then we turn turbines with it in order to produce electricity. And in that process of producing electricity, we got magnets that are spinning past coils that creates a brute force magnetic field that shakes loose the 29th electron on the copper atom, and causes electric flow that we call current. So, there's our electricity. We're using some dangerous material to boil some water that in turn forces some electrons to do some work to actually
angry produce electricity. Damn angry pixies through a wire.
Yeah. And in that process, we're generating some more waste in that process. We're wasting radioactive material, which I won't get into right at the moment because I don't want to start a fight. But we're also producing waste heat through the coils while we are inducing a current flow in those coils of wire, because the resistance builds up with more current the higher the amperage and so on and so forth, till eventually that wire is right at the edge, you know, of what the insulator on that wire can actually handle. Anything above that, then wires will get too hot, they'll burn off the insulation and essentially short that coil of wire out, making it, rendering it unusable until you take the wire off and re-insulate it and put it back on, or put fresh wire on regardless. So, when I'm looking at things like this video that the Magnetist put out there, and he's got some other really good videos out there, you should check out his YouTube channel and subscribe if you like. When I'm watching this video, I'm seeing anomalies occur inside there where my brain is just running amok, so to speak, with all the different ideas that could come about by watching what's happening in this video. You know, I think spinning around in circles because that energy wants to go somewhere. It don't care where it's going to go. It's just looking for a path to ground so nature can balance itself back out. So it creates an ionic wind that causes that wire just to spin around rapidly, and you can see it at night. It looks like one solid loop, you know, purple, beautiful looking plasma or blue, whatever color it is, depending on who's looking at it, I guess. But it's pretty impressive. You got visible light, you got heat, you got motion, and the doggone thing, if you paid attention and you took that as far as it could go, how far could you actually take the use of plasma, high voltage, static energy, and the corona effect or ion drive effects to building the perfect generator? And when I say the perfect generator, I mean one that doesn't require a lot of input in order to get the output that you need to produce the current flow that we use, that we call electricity. Now see, there are so many different ways to change energy from one point to the other. The laws of physics state that energy can neither be created nor can it be destroyed. So where's it going? We're wasting the majority of all the energy that we're using because it goes out in the atmosphere as heat or radiant energy or whatever. This video that I posted in here about the static motor, if you're really interested in static electricity and atmosphere motors, this is the one you need to look at because the RPMs that this man was getting off of this motor that he put together, it was more than impressive. This told me that if it was properly engineered, you could literally build a static electric motor that would rival the internal combustion engine. That's a lot. That is a big statement to make, because if you looked at any of the Atmo motors or ion drive motors, you would say that, well, you know, they just don't have a lot of power, whatever, you know, there's not a lot of torque involved. That's not the case. If you go look at Remstar.org, Laser Saber, or any of the Atmo motors that he made out there, you will see that he actually has some atmospheric motors that literally have a lot of torque to them. Now, scaled up, those could really be some impressive machinery. This particular motor that he put together on this video here, I'm not sure the YouTuber's name, but if you're over there, you might want to subscribe. That way you can keep up with it. Future update for this motor. Now, if I could get a hold of one of these motors or build one, replicate it myself, I'd be the happiest camper on the planet, because there's several things that I see potential that this motor could actually do as far as alternative energy. I'm always talking about how I just want voltage. I couldn't care less about current, watts, amps, and all that kind of stuff. I don't care about all that. My research doesn't require a lot of current flow. What it requires is the high frequency of the high voltage that will energize gas into the plasma state. And so what I see with this particular motor is basically the equivalence of the most impressive variac out there on the market, the most impressive variable capacitor out there on the market, the most impressive radio tuner out there on the market. You could speed this puppy up and slow it down and be able to generate so many different ranges of frequencies that you really can't get through solid state electronics yet. You know, there's a lot of impressive signal generators out there, and there's a lot of impressive other equipment that are able to, you know, develop different frequency ranges. But this, to me, is probably going to be the best tool as far as my research goes. What it also shows me is that if it was designed properly, I can't remember, I think he said somewhere in one part of that video that he was running this off of 40 volts, alright? Initially running his power supply off of 40 volts. That's not much. The high voltage that was being generated pushing into that using capacitors to store up a charge and then hitting a high voltage spike on that that was actually causing this this thing to turn. You just have to watch the video to see what it is that I'm talking about. But this is probably by far the most impressive static electric motor that I've seen in since all the time I've been researching. It's got essentially an armature and a rotor inside there, or it's hard to explain. If you take two cones and you kind of set them offset with each other, the whole entire center of this thing is built like that. And you just have to go watch it. So with that said, we're standing in a at a crossroad right now where we got to decide as we the people whether or not we're going to keep up with the mainstream science guys out there. It's the whole getting the thing done that Thomas keeps talking about. Alright, I gotta keep talking about it because I'm trying to recruit some more people out there that have skills that can actually build things. Jermaine, he's one of the YouTubers that what I talked to about because he built a solenoid motor. I also saw his Wimshurst generator that he built. Now keep in mind, he's using some recycled materials in building these things, but he's got some skill set. So as far as the Dream Team, this would be somebody you would want on your Dream Team because he knows how to make stuff. All right, and Justin, he's got some terminology out there that kind of butts heads with me all the time, but he's got to be the one that's going to be able to explain in high-tech terminology to the mainstream science folks out there and the college-educated dudes on what's occurring when we're showing this gizmo working. Thomas has a background in all kinds of stuff from chemistry to he's actually built, you know, most of his 3D printer to make it better than what it was when I actually first got the doggone thing. So as far as the Dream Team, these three right here are just a small fraction of what we've actually got access to out there in the brilliant minds as far as we the people. So we don't have to have all these nuclear scientists or, people down there, whatever, government science guys basically building stuff for us. We can do it ourselves. You know, there's resources out there available. There's YouTubers out there that do some amazing research. Deeds is one of them. I love to watch his work because everything he puts together is brilliantly done. I mean, it doesn't look like junk. It doesn't look like some of the things in my lab where I slap some wires together, run some tests on it, or not like that. This is impressive. You got Ryan Abrams over there at Abrams Lab. I mean, this guy's an artist. When he does something, it not only looks good, it's impressive how it works. You got Terry Woodruff out there doing some research. Really brilliant character there as well. Remstar.org, Laser Hacker, all them guys out there. Lidmotor, one of my favorite YouTubers out there. Makes little motors, static motors and generators and electric motors, really super efficient, that run off of little circuitry like the Jewel Thief circuit that you can run this battery down to its bare minimum and this thing is still running. Alright, so if you can make it on that scale super efficient, then you can also scale it up to make it super efficient. The static motors that he builds, he makes them out of pill bottles. So that's why he calls his channel Lid Motor, because all the motors that he's making them in small scale, testing different things like solar-powered static generators or just solar-powered motors or even, you know, just running them off of capacitors. So When I keep talking about putting a dream team together, these are a few of the guys right here that's on the Mad Science Show right now that is part of the dream team. And when I talk about recruiting other people out there, I'm talking about you find somebody out there who has some skill sets and maybe even some tools. I mean, we got between Thomas and myself and Justin and Jermaine and Raymond, Muddy and all them, we got enough tools, we can do a lot of things. But we need to be able to do a lot more than what we're doing. We need to be able to bring the dream team together, even if it's not in the same lab, be at least virtual lab, so we can real time be able to see what each other's doing using the technologies we got available to us right now. I mean, Skype's pretty impressive. I mean, maybe it's not the best platform all the time, but it is a really impressive program that allows us to be able to see in each other's labs and show real time what's going on. So Shaziz Radio could actually turn into be like a TV kind of real time lab. What do you guys think about that? Anything? No? Man. Hello! Jermaine, how you doing, brother?
Hello.
Did I lose you guys?
No.
What do you think?
The feedback. It'd be cool, though.
Yeah. So, you think that some point in history or some point in the future that we're actually going to get to the point where technology becomes so advanced that it literally takes over mankind and basically we become irrelevant and the computers go on without us?
It's beginning to look like it.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to overt that. I'm trying to give everybody a choice to go a different direction to where, you know, we got technology too. We got access to all this information right now. We need to put it into actual cool gizmos, so to speak. What do you think?
Yeah.
Man, you guys are like terrible for radio. Wake up.
Well, I don't know. You're going, so I zoned out.
Jesus, you're the ones being terrible for radio. You're echoing like crazy.
Yeah, that's only echoing through Skype. It's not echoing on the radio. So.
Well, it's hard for us to think.
Alright, is he like skipping on you?
No, you gotta let go of your button, your mic button.
I ain't touching my mic button.
But it's being stuck open.
Turn your mic down or something, then.
I'll mute my mic and allow you guys to talk. How's that? You can't hear me now. Who's going to speak first? Nobody can hear me.
I don't know. Whatever you want to talk about, that's whatever. Where do you want to go? What do you want to talk about? I don't know.
All right, listen to him.
I'm almost all talked out, so. my hands are itching to get busy.
Hold on, man. What do you mean almost talked out? I had to unmute my mic because I heard that one. Almost talked out. You haven't even started talking yet.
Yes, we have. We've been talking for, 2 years now?
Yeah, and you've been doing
we got together one time and put together a couple discs.
Yeah?
I'm talked out, man. Need to put together some more stuff, man.
Alright, what do you want to build next?
Let's have something to talk about that we've, you know, let's do something that we've got something to talk about.
Man. Okay. Well, let me go over there to my YouTube channel.
We need to Nike it, man. Just do it.
Yeah, let me go over there to my YouTube channel here. I need to add a page there, a tab.
I thought you were going to go to your YouTube channel and find my channel so you could thumb down all my videos now.
I'm not a thumbs downer. I respect people's work, man. I mean, look. You talk about getting things done. You get things done. I get things done. Over there on my YouTube channel, I need the video manager. I don't need that one. I need video manager.
I think static videos are not the solution either. I think they're a good way to get people's attention, but I think at some point you gotta put live video feed out, let them really get in there and see what's going on and ask questions and see, you know, ask for things to be turned around and whatnot. See things that they would never see in a static video.
Yeah, but every static video is all the same. It's all the same, right. It's all the same machines with the same result. But they're just comparing each other to who has bigger sparks and such. All just right. Yeah.
Well, the other thing, too, is the person who's doing the recording has no idea what every aspect of every question or every option that they're going to ask for, so they can't offer that in their video if they don't have any idea it's going to be asked.
All
right. If it's live, though, you don't have to worry about it. It's a dynamic system where you can just ask.
There are 250 videos on my YouTube channel. 250 of them. And in every single one of these 250 videos, there is a clue, an anomaly. There is something going on in every one of these static videos that's worth paying.
So what you're saying is your YouTube channel is full of Easter eggs.
Yeah, I guess if you want to look at it like that. Look, when I first saw Jermaine's solenoid motor, I was excited as all get out, because if you go back and look on this channel over here, you're going to find out that about 20 some odd years ago, I put a picture out there on the internet for people to look at. It had to do with solenoid motors. There's two different versions of this same doggone motor. One used electric motors to actually run the camshaft, and the other one used solenoids to actually run the camshaft. But it threw it right out there just to see how many people would actually run with the doggone thing. I mean, literally take off and take it to the extremes. There's
well,
some guys
if you, if you
the,
hey, if you want to look at some people who are doing serious work to improve solenoid motor technology, just go look in the tattoo industry.
Sure.
Every professional tattoo gun out there uses a solenoid motor to move that needle up and down at a high rate of speed so that they end up with a series of holes that are so close together and so tight that they literally look like a continuous line, like a ballpoint pen laying down a line of ink
sure,
on a piece of paper.
That's one place that you could take that, but there's a guy that...
Hold on. I'm not saying take it there. I'm saying go ask them questions about their motors, because they know about that stuff.
Yeah, I already understand.
Pull them in.
I already understand the concept. What I'm talking about is how far you can take that one idea, such as a man who built a little scale model of a V8 engine that is a solenoid motor. And this thing, not only does it look incredible, it runs incredible. And it's a little solenoid engine that you put inside of a car, you know. He could build this. That small, and then turn around and put it inside a slot car. Now you tell me that ain't cool. That's a lot of torque.
But you're still discounting what I just said, where you have literally hundreds of millions of people that have been experimenting with that stuff and have ran across God knows how many anomalies, that if you start asking them questions, you may find clues to stuff that you won't see if you experiment with solenoid motors for the next 50 years.
Sure.
The information's there. Ask them. You know, figure out what to ask them.
I'm not discounting what you're trying to say. What I'm pointing out here is all of these, even the physics toy videos, show something inside there. You know, you're actually pushing a boat with a little negative ion generator. It's producing a wind. It's actually pushing a boat across the water in the bathtub. All right, and all these other different static deals, the attractions, and the fact that the one that I did physics toy number two that has the balloons in there, the water balloons inside there, you're actually getting these water balloons, which if you put them on a scale, have some mass to them. But using the physics that's involved in that particular toy, the water is actually being held up by the structure that surrounds it. And so you're able to move what would have normally been a heavy amount of water, that you're actually getting physical work done with static electricity. That's the point. All right? And so all these videos out here that have little anomalies in them, those are things that I have observed throughout the entirety of searching for alternative energy solutions. Now, I put them out there so that somebody would see that idea, it would trigger a light bulb in their head, and they would take that idea and run with it like a relay race. You see what I'm trying to point out here? I understand what I could do if I had all the technology, all the tools and everything, access to the dream team in a shop, what we could actually accomplish. I want to get more people out there involved in taking this idea and seeing how far you can push it. Like the Pop-Pop boat, a little steam engine toy that was back in probably the 50s. I want to see a full-size, a full-scale version of that, a man, a full-grown man can get in and ride around in the pond or something. I want to see I want to see how far you can take it. That's the point.
Yeah. Right, so if you want to see it and that's your dream, then follow it and do it. If you want something, right? Nobody's going to ever do anything for anybody else.
Justin.
Per se.
Justin, you ever heard the terminology, too many irons in the fire? How many projects you got? I could want
a million things to be done and everything, but the only way to start getting them done is by doing them, right?
Yeah. And so if you got a million things doing, you try to recruit a million people who are interested in the same subject to get it done quicker, right?
Well, that's what everybody's doing. Everybody's on YouTube sharing, right? Or right. Twitch TV or whatever, right?
When you guys talk about getting it done, this is how I'm getting it done. This is how I'm putting all these projects out there to everybody and his brother that will join with me and do research and actually build physical deals that we can bring back together and show. Look, if you took every single one of these anomalies that I've shown throughout the entirety of the 250 videos on there, and you utilized them into one working device, now you're back to where I was talking about the Olympic-sized swimming pool, right? You put a generator out there in your yard, a gasoline generator. It's only capable of producing so much energy before it drops on its face. But nature, on the other hand, is capable of continuously filling up a tank of energy from all different directions. My free thinker videos, I put some stuff out there, and I kept asking people the question, what do you think it is? What do you think this purpose? Why is it I'm doing this? What I've tried to point out to them, and some of them's figured out to some extent parts of it, but what I pointed out, that thing is still out there today running. Go back and look at the actual date of the original video when I started putting this thing together, and it's still today running. Every single one of those batteries on there are batteries that you couldn't start a car with. Heck, you probably couldn't even run an electric motor with, but it has static electricity built up in it that is using that battery as a capacitor, and it's still holding voltage. And at the same point, charging up other batteries. So
yeah, but a static electric generator is more efficient than a normal electric generator, because a normal electric generator has a cogging effect, like Justin said. It has the lens effect. It's being there is an opposite force from turning the flywheel the opposite direction. But it isn't with a static electric generator.
See that?
And that's the plus.
See that, Jermaine? You just said exactly what I've been trying to point out as far as static electricity. Now, you get it, and we get it. Now, that guy that built the doggone static electric motor that I posted a link in the chat room, he gets it. That doggone thing is impressive. If you took that and engineered it to the best of its ability and see how far you could take it, you'd literally have an electrostatic motor that could rival the internal combustion engine as far as torque, speed, and everything. You see what I'm saying? Now, it doesn't have to be dangerous. One thing I've learned about static electricity, and you probably should know as well, and if you've ever been around a Van de Graaff generator, static electricity will travel a long ways.
Yeah.
You know, it's not fighting the normal resistance that you would think of electricity having to, you know, go through a resistor or whatever. It just kind of skirts along the whole surface, and anything that's metal energizes it, almost like radiation, man. Amazing stuff.
Yeah, but that's the thing. We need to design an engine that can use the static electricity at its best.
Yep. Well, Thomas has access to a 3D printer, and we know there are other static motors out there that people have put together. That there's actually, the code to actually print it, but those aren't as efficient as the one we just showed in that chat room. So we would have to redesign one as close to possible as the one that the guy did in there in order to be able to replicate it, to be able to test that. Or just design our own using the knowledge that we've got from that. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
But we got access to the talent. We got access to the tools. I would like to see that done. Now, if I personally try to build that specific static motor with my skill set as far as manufacturing, I'm going to spend a lot of time wasted trying to get this doggone thing to work, that if somebody else could build the doggone thing, I'd even be willing to pay the guy who had the video. Even if it cost me $1,000, I'd buy one of those from him.
You can buy a Wimshurst online, if you want one.
Well, I got a Vandegraaff. I don't need a Wimshurst, but I wouldn't mind having a Wimshurst. I'm not talking about a Wimshurst generator. I'm talking about that static electric motor. Watch that video and you'll see why I'm so impressed with how that thing is constructed. It's got some serious RPMs to it. Alright? All of this started from one idea that somebody literally took it to the extreme to make it better. You see what I mean? Solenoid motor. You know, the guy took and made one the size of a matchbox, and it's a beautiful looking little motor. He built the whole thing from start to finish by itself. Little tiny motor. Looks like a V8 engine. And, it all started off with an idea. You know, we know how solenoids work. Thomas has a perfect point. The tattoo guns, those are some brilliant solenoid motors. Also, those solenoid motors can be used to pulse Tesla coils. I got a video about that as well. Took a tattoo gun and I was using it to pulse a Tesla coil. All right, because I'm high voltage up there. Huh?
All of these things from like transformers to solenoids, everything's a coil and it's a frequency and how it gets pulsed. It's an attraction force and a repulsion force. Everything that we're doing, right? That's potential difference.
Well, see, with all the knowledge that you and Thomas and Jermaine, myself, Muddy, and Raymond, and all the different researchers that we've talked to and interacted with all that knowledge together, you put that into, if you go look at the gasoline engine out there. One man come up with an idea and built a device. Alright? And before it was all said and done, you got major industry out there that has robots that can build an entire car. Right? And then you got some people running around running these machineries that are putting materials in there and doing all that kind of stuff. It all starts from one idea. I want to see how far all of these could be expanded to. Full-sized pop-pop boat that a man can ride around in on the deal. That has implications for third world countries that are using boat motors that are made back in the 50s, and when they break down, they don't got no parts. It's hard to get parts for them. You ever tried to get on eBay and find an outdated part for something, piece of equipment you got? It's pretty taxing. You get out there on the internet, you might find it. You might find an old part. But if you can, that piece of machinery is down. But the pop-pop boat, if it was properly designed, you could have a solid-state boat motor using jet ski technology that would literally be able to steer it using nozzling, and you'd have a boat motor that would never break down. You see what I mean? That's how far I see that anomaly going. What do you think?
Yeah, but just with the gasoline engine, that thing isn't efficient at all.
No, it's not. But it could be. We could take that same engine and re-engineer it. Change the way that we put the fuel in there. We know the chemistry of the deal. We got guys like Thomas. All right, we know about hydrogen technology and how energy is generated. We also know, if we don't want to invoke Lenz's law, we can take that energy off of any generator and move it to a completely different state of matter and then change it back into usable current on the other side.
Or use a static generator.
Yeah. Instead of having an internal combustion engine, you could actually build a static motor that, like I said, would rival an internal combustion engine.
Mm-hmm.
If you're worried about getting hit in the face with a lightning bolt, we know anybody who's been messing around with Tesla coils knows about things like Faraday cages and, different ways that, if there's any fear of X-rays or any other rays coming off of such a device, we know the materials that will block out. Thomas just talked about earlier this morning about different amounts of water that would slow down radioactive, it would cut it down. The more you had, it would cut it down until it got to the other side where you could live for several months in a situation where you would have normally died because you didn't have that insulation between them.
Mm.
See what I'm saying?
Mm. So you're saying it's all wasted energy?
Well, sure it is. We're doing it wrong. If you can get the same results that you want out of something as simple as static electricity, that's why I'm so talking so much about static electricity, because everybody's been walking across the carpet and shocked themselves or somebody else. That's energy that is, you're surrounded by it, all right? And it's energy that in most industries out there that have to do with electronics, you won't want no part of, because it can actually destroy microcircuits and such. See what I mean?
Yeah, it's being underrated. It's being underrated.
Yeah. So,
what do you want to know about statics? Like how it works?
I don't want to know anything more than what I already know about static. What I want is for people to take that technology and run with it to see how far that they can take it. That's the whole point. I know what I can do with a static. I've built a Franklin Bell. Everybody knows the basic Franklin Bell. It picks up a charge on one side and then swings it back the other and releases the charge. And so you got this bell using static electricity. What I'm impressed by isn't the fact that it's exchanging electrons. What I'm impressed by is you actually got motion. You actually got physical work being done by...
Just like the ball cyclotron.
Yeah.
The
ball that he's talking about, that Jermaine's talking about. We're spinning the ball around in a bowl. You're getting physical work done. That's what I'm talking about. With these anomalies on there... When I'm seeing deals like when the magnetist did his video and he's showing that the plasma's spinning around in a circle, I'm not just thinking about that little wire spinning around. I'm thinking about the force that's actually causing that wire to spin around. I'm also thinking about the heat and the light. I'm thinking about how far that you could actually take that working force and use it towards building an alternative energy device that would actually do the work that we need done as far as how we're using electricity now. You see where I'm going now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But do you want to design or make a fuel source that's always in a gaseous state? Or something that can turn your gasoline into vapor and... Can keeping it in vapor firm for your motor.
I'd like to see somebody do that. Raymond was working on a deal where they was trying to make the internal combustion engine as efficient as possible by vaporizing the fuel, and he's getting good results on there. Now, see, my main work that I'm working on is plasma technology. Nobody on the Dream Team right now has the capability of making the device that I want to build. All right, and so as far as my physical research, I'm actually working behind the scenes trying to get machine shops to make certain parts for me that I can actually build a plasma reactor that doesn't leak. Alright, but I want one that I can actually see inside so that people can visually see what's going on inside this chamber so that they understand what it is that I'm showing them. You know, like right now, you could build a bearing and a wheel, and you could spin that bearing and wheel around, and people can understand how this thing functions. How come the wheel ain't flying off? It's because it's locked in a clamp that is holding the bearing tight and allowing the other one to spin freely. That's exactly what I want to do with the plasma reactors. I want people to be able to visually see and understand exactly what it is that I'm showing them, and why this thing does what I say it does. When you look at a fluorescent light bulb, there's a lot of technology behind how that thing actually functions. You look at little plasma globes that everybody likes, a little lightning storm going on there, how the lightning will literally follow your finger around, and you know, it's really cool to play with. But what I see when I look at that thing is a plasma reactor. I see an energy source that actually could be tapped into. And even on that plasma ball, there's wasted energy coming out of that glass. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. That you can take a fluorescent light bulb and you can stick it up next to the plasma ball, and you will energize the gas inside that plasma. So now you've got wasted energy that's actually coming out into the atmosphere. When you're running high voltage, you can smell ozone. All right?
Yeah, yeah.
Ozone.
It's just some electrostatics.
Yeah.
It's the electrostatics are forming the sparks.
Right. Again, it's all about the potential difference. Like, if you go outside in the wintertime and you open the door, the heat comes out from outside and the cool air rushes inside, and that's potential difference, and you smell that. And that's even the same thing what you're creating with all these bulbs.
It's also...
Actually, the ozone you're talking about is the process of electrolysis happening in air instead of water.
Changing places.
You're cracking oxygen off of things, and then because of the process, there's so much energy left in the oxygen that it bonds together and ionizes.
Yeah, but see, the key to that point there is that ozone, unless you want ozone, like the ozone generators that they use for cleaning out your house or whatever, taking smoke out or whatever, making your house smell fresh or whatever, unless you're using that ozone for that purpose, it's wasted energy. It's dispersed out there. You can smell it. I mean, but that energy, if compacted, you see what I'm saying? Energy's going to go where energy wants to go, regardless of what you do. All right? Now, we have methods by which we can put things in vacuums, and we can put shields around them so that energy can't escape. What happens when you build a device where energy cannot escape? Anybody?
Well, with a plasma reactor, you're creating heat.
Yeah. You're also creating pressure. Pressure can get work done. So if we consolidate all the knowledge that we've got, and even the wasted energy that is escaping from the plasma ball itself, if that energy wasn't able to escape, if the heat wasn't able to escape through the glass or whatever... Imagine if you took some duct tape and you taped that plasma ball up and insulated it really good, and you know, I mean,
well, that's what you do with copper magnetic shielding, right? That's what CERN is. Same thing.
Well, if you took that plasma ball and you insulated it so that no heat could escape, no pressure could escape, no energy could escape, and you kept running that thing, what do you think would happen?
Get a hole in something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it creates a lot of heat.
If you don't give it a hole to escape through, it's going to make its own hole.
That's right. That's my point exactly. So with plasma technology, as long as you're using this energy, as long as it's got a path for it to go, then you have energy on demand. All right? And since we know that high voltage can actually energize any of the noble gases, to even explosive gases in a vacuum, all right? You could do it with hydrogen. It don't matter. You know, as long as you don't get the reaction such as you got oxygen in there that can interact with the fire that's going to... You see what I'm saying? You don't want to blow yourself up. That's like the flashback on a hydrogen cell. There's a reason why it flashed back. There was actually some oxygen available that could get in there and interact with... You know, it takes, what, three things to start a fire? A fuel source, oxygen, and an ignition source. See what I'm saying? That's why noble gases, I'm always talking about argon, because argon ain't going to have the explosive capabilities unless it is contained where the pressure can't never release it, but via heat or light or whatever. You see what I mean?
But from what if you made your plasma reactor from?
Well, the one that I want to build as far as the prototype would be similar to the one that I did the video on. Now, that one there, I showed Thomas whenever he was out here that the cracks on that thing. That thing literally overpressurized, got too hot, and basically cracked the entire thing. It destroyed it. It destroyed itself. It produced so much energy that it literally destroyed itself.
And was it made from glass? Or plastic?
It had glass, and it was totally, completely encased with epoxy resin, clear epoxy resin, in order to make sure that it wouldn't leak. Well, it pressurized to such an extent that there was no way I could keep the energy inside there. It literally cracked through a huge block of really high, heavy-duty acrylic resin, epoxy resin, whatever, that normally they make paperweights out of this stuff. You put like a quarter in there or something like that, or a scorpion, and it's solid, and you can bang it on the table and it's not going to break. You might chip it or scratch it, but you're not going to break it because it's that strong.
So you want to it being made with a material that's strong enough that can handle the pressure, but it which also is transparent so everyone can see inside.
Yeah, and that's where Thomas was talking about using different types of like quartz or something like that. What was that material we were talking about a while back, Thomas? Something that could withstand heat and power pressure?
Quartz, yeah.
Are you still there? I just lost Thomas.
Well, you see, you gotta guide the plasma inside. You gotta make sure that which is just a charge plate inside or even outside of the apparatus, and it guides it so that you concentrate the heat to the center of the tube so that it stays away from the glass as much as possible.
Well,
you're quenching it too, like you're pinching it. You're accelerating even faster. You can then pulsate it if you want to as well.
Justin, you also hit on another key deal about guiding, because if you look at the microwave magnetron, there's a magnet on each side of that. Now, if you're listening to the show and you could visualize a toroidal effect, like a donut, all right? The energy going in and out that magnet, right? And it's almost like a black hole with the entrance on one side and an exit on one side, depending on which way this magnet's field is facing will determine on what energy passes through that and which direction it's going. And so you got two magnets sitting on a magnetron in a microwave oven, the older style magnetrons, because the newer ones use a different technology. All right, well, the energy that you put into the magnetron via the microwave oven transformer is literally being guided by the magnetic field and the way that magnetic field is actually facing. So when the magnetic field behind it is causing a vortex effect that's causing the electrons from the heated element inside the magnetron to start to spin around. All right, well, now you've got a magnet on the opposite side that is wanting to attract that electron flow towards that other end, and then finally out the antenna in the form of a microwave. You see what I'm saying?
Right. I'll get a little deeper into it, okay? The transformer, it's high voltage, and what that magnetron is it's like an organ pipe, right? It makes frequency. When you put an electron in there and it spins, it, like you're saying, it spins, and each time it goes through another one, it gets higher and higher, and then it goes off of the helix coil at the top. And it's radiated out. That one little electron that's dripping off of that helix coil is spinning so fast when it hits that plate, it just bounces like crazy. Most of that energy is grounded out. There ain't that much energy really going into it. It takes all that potential difference to get that electron spinning that fast.
Yeah, and one of the things about the magnetron, that heating element that I talked about inside there, when Raymond was out here, I showed him how I lit up a tungsten element light bulb, basically an old headlamp off of a car that was burnt out, all right? I showed him how I was able to heat, light that thing up, even though the element was broke inside there. Well, that magnetron right now requires resistance in order to be able to heat that element up. But if that element was broken half, you could use that element inside that magnetron and use it as a spark gap with high frequency voltage and still be able to get a microwave out the other end of that. You understand what I'm saying here? Because as that frequency is going across that broken tungsten element and jumping across that gap, it's causing that element to heat up, right? And that's why you was able to see, and when I lit that doggone 12-volt bulb that was burnt in half, you could see the visible light from it. That's how the elements work. The tungsten gets hot, the heat is light, and vice versa, and you can actually see the doggone headlight come on when, in reality, you hook it to a 12-volt battery, it's not going to come on. There's no path. There's no path for the energy to flow, but with that high frequency, it's literally able to jump across that gap and vibrate that tungsten so rapidly that it produces the heat that in turn is the light. You see what I'm saying? So, you could take a dead microwave magnetron that's burned out, the heating element inside there is burned out, and you can still run that using the 12-volt Beckett oil burner igniter and still produce microwaves out the other side to cook your food. So now you'd have a microwave that could run off of 12 volts and produce the same type of reaction, boiling your water, cooking your food and stuff, right? Run off of 12 volts and in the milliamp range as opposed to whatever the microwave's running at. You see what I mean? Because you ain't got that resistive load anymore. You're not relying on the magnetron, the transformer, the microwave oven transformer, you know, the primary and the secondary to do the work. You see what I mean? Anybody? I think I gave them all like a brain freeze or something. All right. So that's the key. It don't take that much energy to cause something to heat up. It takes the frequency to cause something to heat up. Am I wrong? Justin? Thomas? Anybody?
It takes potential difference. And plasma reactors can be very dangerous, too. When you evocate a chamber, you're pulling in atmospheric pressure towards it because you're taking oxygen out, which is the glue of everything. It holds everything together in its equilibrium. If you were to so much have that running and it was a large container, the amount of, if you were to take a hammer and whack it, an implosion is much more devastating than an explosion. The reverb is, it's crazy.
Well,
Well, yeah, because it's a force pushing inwards. A force pushing inwards.
Plasma generators are dangerous. Very dangerous.
Yeah, if you allow something to pressurize long enough, anything is dangerous. If you're taking that energy off on a steady flow, as long as you're using that energy on demand, you ain't got nothing to worry about. Right?
So just like a capacitor, then.
Yeah. And so, it's like, just like Jermaine just said, a capacitor.
If you overcharge, this is a small bomb.
Hold on a second. If you overcharge a capacitor, one of two things is going to happen. Number one, if the energy can't quickly enough leap from one of those terminals to the other to discharge itself, then the pressure will build up and the capacitor will literally explode. You can find those with like little electrolytic capacitors. If you ever overcharge one of those and you blow it up and you see all the paper shredding everywhere, it's like a firecracker.
Yeah. Right?
Well, the same thing would apply with, like a regular capacitor that's in air conditioning units. Those things are made out of metal, so it could hold a lot more pressure. If you overpressurize one of those, you literally got a pipe bomb going on. You see what I mean?
A lot of pressure, yeah.
Yeah. But if you take that energy off on demand, as long as you allow that energy to be able to flow somewhere, then you can get your work done that you need. And that's why I said that even in static electricity, the Van de Graaff generator and the Wimshurst generator, it's producing so much energy, it's creating a reaction with the atmosphere. There's so much energy there, it's all wasted energy. You know?
Yeah, but if you want to direct a spark with from electrostatic generators, they use one end of your spark gap is a sphere with a smaller sphere on top of it, so it directs the beam, the spark.
Yeah.
That's how they direct it.
So. I'm trying to talk to Muddy here. Yeah. So, I can't tell if he's online or not. But anyway, so if you took a Van de Graaff generator, imagine you took a Van de Graaff generator and you put it inside a vacuum and you took that energy that was being built up and used it to literally take any noble gas into the plasma state. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Alright, well, right now we know that the plasma will probably get hot enough that that rubber band inside there that's actually spinning around picking up the friction would probably melt really rapidly, and so it probably wouldn't be the optimal one to use inside there.
Are you talking about Van de Graaff generator?
Because that's what I got at home. You got a Wimshurst.
They built your own from records.
Yeah.
From records.
But either way, if you take that energy off that Wimshurst and guide it into a plasma chamber, you've already seen you can light up fluorescent bulbs with that thing. And you can actually light them up continuously by adjusting how far that spark gap actually goes across there. You see what I mean?
Mine always lights up when the capacitors are full and when they discharge.
Mm-hmm.
You see a flash and then they build up and you see a flash and.
But if you want to turn that into a full-time power source for, let's say, just running fluorescent light bulbs, then all you do is take the, instead of having large capacitors, you have smaller ones that'll fill up faster and cause that discharge to happen more rapidly and then shorten the spark gap up to where it's a continuous frequency coming out into that light bulb. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, it don't take much.
Does it differ on how big the fluorescent tube is, or how much gas it's in it? It's within it.
No, all it's requiring is that frequency. That's it. You know, that frequency range, like a microwave. A lot of people are paranoid of microwaves, but in reality, a microwave doesn't remain a microwave very long unless it's got a lot of power behind it. Right?
Mm.
When a microwave comes out inside that microwave oven, it's bouncing around in a short area. That's it. You know, it's bouncing using waveguides. It's bouncing off the walls and through your food and rocking the water molecule back and forth until it creates the friction which cooks your food. Well, when a microwave comes out into the atmosphere, that's why you can stand about, 40, 50 feet away from a microwave tower that's sending out radio signals without getting fried. Because when that microwave comes out, it starts slamming in the atmosphere right out of the gate, right? Which is slowing it down. It's resisting that microwave and basically slowing it down. The wave's still there, but the wave changes to a slower wave. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the key. Now, in a confined area, microwaves are really dangerous. You know, you wouldn't want to stick your hand or your face in a microwave if you could keep it running, because your body's got water in it. You boil your eyeballs out of your skull. You know, fry your brain.
And that's what happens with your food. Hey.
Yeah. So, there you go, man. Now we know we can use microwaves to actually cook food. Now, as far as long-term health or whatever, what it actually does to the food, you could debate that all day long. But regardless, that power potential that's in the microwave, because it's a really fast wave, has the capability of producing some really hot plasma. You understand what I'm saying? Like, have you ever seen the YouTubers out there that are always doing these videos where they put a video on and they say, will it microwave? And they'll put stuff inside the microwave oven and cause these sparks, and the microwave will basically destroy itself from inside out?
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Some of them, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. They've actually created plasma inside a microwave that is so hot that it is in the visible light spectrum of white.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so if it's white, you know it's hot.
Yeah. But what did it put in them?
Oh, they put everything in there. They put everything from different types of metals to fluorescent bulbs, and which I don't think it's a really wise idea, the ones that's got mercury in them, because you don't want mercury vapor floating around the room.
No.
But nonetheless, the arcing going on inside there is a lot of power, man. And if it wasn't for the casing of that microwave, that power would be dispersed around in the general vicinity of whoever was misfortunate enough to be standing nearby.
Yeah, so you could use a microwave for your plasma generator.
Yeah.
Yes, that's my reactor they use.
Ah, okay.
So, you could actually build a microwave gun. You could actually boost that signal out to where it'd go for miles. All right? You'd send a microwave one right after another, and it would keep those waves just ramming through the atmosphere. But I wouldn't suggest it, because anybody within that path, you're pretty much toast. You know? I'm not here to build weapons of war. I'm just here to try to...
To give you an example, 2.45 gigahertz is 490 kilometers per second.
Well, that's pretty doggone fast, if you ask me.
Right. That's... When you look at a Megatron, think of, like, raindrops falling in a single line.
Yep. Well, that inside that microwave oven would be basically the equivalence of standing right next to some super hot radioactive rods that they use to boil water in the doggone nuclear industry, right?
So she says rain, right?
Huh?
It's rain. It generates and it holds static charge, right?
Yeah.
How do you want to capture it? How are you going to capture it? That's falling rain.
There's probably a lot of different processes in capturing static electricity. Something as simple as a metal plate out there could pick. See, the whole deal about static electricity and any energy for that matter is that it wants to level itself out. It wants to balance itself out, you know.
Right.
Once that lightning bolt strikes, you know, it's a flat line. It's, especially if you're standing next to it, you flat line.
We know what a hydrostatic pressure is. It's Pascals, right?
Yeah.
Right, and you got the P, which is the density, which is measured in kilograms, the cubic meter, right? The SI units. Right, you got the acceleration, which is sea level. And then you have difference in potential, which is time, triangle, and H for your height, right? It's the fluid above us, the potential difference of gravity, right? Statics are all about charged and uncharged bodies. We live in an atmosphere, a charged body.
Yeah.
And we can move that around.
That's the point. Now, nature, you know, basically balances itself out. You know, like the atmosphere up at the top and the electrons in the earth itself, you know, they're at a certain balance. And there's a thunderstorm going on. Yeah, that's where you'll see an imbalance going on. All this action going on up here is causing one of them to get a higher potential than the other, and that energy wants to balance itself out, so it's going to take shortest path to ground. You see what
right.
I mean? Well,
right. Like I kind of explained Pascals, right? And you're talking about equilibrium, unstable, unstable, right? Statics at rest,
yeah.
Right? So there goes back to Jermaine again with dynamics, fluid dynamics, right? But it's all about pressure, whether it's inside of us or over there on Mars or on the dock.
Well,
even aluminum plates on the Wimshurst have a density and they have their own atmosphere. And that's why when they cross each other, they push on each other. We don't see the unseen force. But it does exist.
That pressure is how we get work done. You know,
right.
You put pressure force with your hand to push a lever that lifts a big heavy object, that's pressure. Same thing with voltage, you know, with static electricity. You mentioned earlier about how it would actually drag in energy from the atmosphere like the Venturi effect. So you could feel like right before that discharge, you could feel an ion wind being created as that energy is building up to be able to leap across that gap. It's dragging more energy. And so when that pressure hits on the other side, you hear a snap, right? And you can actually see visible light and heat. All in one shot, snap, visible light and heat, 3-for-1 going on there. You see what I mean? So there's a lot of pressure going on there. You literally have plasma. If you can see that, it's literally ionized that air into the fourth state of matter, turned it into plasma right there across that spark gap. That's what you're seeing is plasma. That's the kind of plasma that I'm talking about. Now, if you can take that energy and you can store it into, you know, keep it in a containment unit, and that heat will begin to pressurize there, because we know that cold contracts and heat expands. So if you got light in there, there's heat pressure being built up inside there. You got the voltage pressure being stored up inside there. That's how the mercury arc rectifier was able to transfer AC current through mercury, liquefy that mercury into gas state, which in turn was energized into the fourth state of matter, which now you got visible light and heat going on, but nonetheless, that energy that you just took off the AC generator is still there, and it comes out the opposite side and is now rectified DC current and still has the power to push something like an elevator motor back in the 1800s. Now that's impressive. You see what I mean? So the plasma reactor that I'm talking about is literally where you take and use what the technology was available back in the 1800s and be able to use that energy without invoking the lens effect that you normally get off of a standard generator when you put it under a load. If you can do that, now you got a generator at the very least that is more efficient because it doesn't have to use near the energy input, such as the amount of gallons per gasoline that this thing would actually use would be so far less because it doesn't have to work as hard in order to keep that engine going. You see what I mean?
Yeah. It'd make a big improvement on it, yes.
Yeah, and then if you took the heat off of that engine that you're running, and you was able to take that heat away from that motor as rapidly as possible, that would also increase the efficiency of that motor, because heat loss, via friction or anything, is going to cause it to not be efficient. It's going to make it have to work harder. You understand what I'm saying? That's why we got a radiator on our cars to take that heat away from it. Because that heat will pressurize so much that it'll literally destroy that engine.
But we don't use the heat.
Yeah.
That's the thing. We don't use the heat that's given to us.
So if we took the heat off that motor and ran our house, the heating for our house and heating our water up for our house, you see where I'm going there? Okay, I'm going to add money to the calls. And so now you would have a generator that had no waste energy coming off of it in the form of heat. It wouldn't have the lens effect being going to it because of the way that you're taking the energy off of the deal. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Can somebody add money into the call?
I'll do.
All right, cool.
I'll also throw Raymond in because he's calling me now.
All right. So, what I'm trying to say is, I got a lot of projects out there that I'd love to see done. I don't have access to all the tools and the skill set in order to build all these projects. So, I go out there and I try to recruit what I classify as the dream team. That's you guys. All right, Muddy, he builds awesome actual flex wind turbines or dual actual flex wind turbines. You guys, you all got your own skill sets and tools and stuff like that. There's other projects that you guys do on your own, but my specific project that I want to work on by myself, it's going to require a little bit more than what our little team's got in order to be able to build something that's going to withstand the kind of power that I'm talking about. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if I can do what it is that I'm talking about, you'd be able to literally turn any existing generator with one simple device into a system that would make that generator so doggone efficient that, you know, your average Joe could afford to spend a gallon a month as opposed to a gallon a day. You see what I mean? So, financially, it would benefit everybody. But as far as energy usage, and even if you want to go to the extreme of talking about the carbon footprint, all right, which everybody knows me by now, I think it's ridiculous. But regardless, to make those folks happy, if you had this system that you could attach to any generating device and be able to reduce the lens effect to the extent that it's basically non-existent, and have that generator be able to just sit there at idle speed and still produce the same amount of energy that it did before, and use that energy efficient from that point on, you take the heat off of that generator's yet even more efficient. So there's supplementary systems that you could take and put on any existing generator to take that heat away so rapidly that you're not only, you're heating your house with it, you're heating your water with it, you're getting the electricity off of the generator without making that generator have to work harder or use more fuel.
Yeah, but are there some people or companies that are working with plasma technology now?
Well, I'm sure there are. I mean, come on. I'm not a rocket scientist, and if I know this stuff, then you know that the guys down there in the, you know, place where they hide UFOs or whatever, you see what I'm saying? They know, all right? And all the technology that you see out there, look at the plasma screen TV. Have you ever really contemplated on how that that information gets turned back into visible light that you can see with your eyes? It's amazing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, so with that said, it's not like we don't have the technology available to us. We do. And, you know, you guys keep talking about you want to get things done, you want to do some hands-on kind of stuff. Well, I'm all with it. If you got a project and you need my help for it, I'm all for it.
We got a battery bank to build right now.
But I
can't. Big battery bank to supply the church.
I can't stop making my videos with these little anomalies, because these little anomalies, like static electricity, negative ion generators, and vacuum and pressure, and all these things right here are teaching moments for other people that will come on board later on down the line. Right? You see one of these little deals, my thumbs down are guy, you know? This guy gets on there, he thumbs me down every doggone video I do. I don't even know why, alright? But...
because you give him attention.
Well...
but we love...
now listen to me. This is my point about that whole deal. Okay, so maybe my video's not the best well-made, alright? I had one guy used to thumb me down because of the lightning bolt crack in the front, alright? Regardless of the content inside there, as long as I'm using the lightning bolt, he hates my guts. But he still watches my video, alright? But if they took and looked at the deal, like the static attraction that the magnetist was showing in his deal, the static attraction from that corona spinning around in a circle with that little thin wire, and they seen that there was actually an anomaly that was actually getting physical work done, and you could see when that thing touched his finger, it was hot. He moved his finger away, all right? When Tesla was doing his experiments, he came up with all kinds of strange burns and anomalies that you know, we still experience today when messing with Tesla coils.
Yeah.
That fact that his finger got burned by that plasma tells me that the tip of that thing is hot. All right, so there's another anomaly, all in one little spinning little circle of plasma. You could see this if your average Joe looked at it. Oh, well, ain't no way you're ever going to run your house off of that. Well, not with that attitude, you're not. But if you took that knowledge that you just gained from that, if you're able to take high voltage and energize it into the state of plasma that can literally spin a wire around in midair and show you visible light and heat at the same exact time, what could you do with that if you put it with this part with that part? You follow me now?
Yeah.
That's my whole point. Jermaine, I was excited about your doggone solenoid motor. Not because, you know, it was just a cool solenoid motor, but because of the way that you went about it. And as I'm watching this thing, even though it's not precisionally made to the extent where... you know, it's perfectly balanced and all that. What impressed me the most was how much this thing was rocking back and forth as it was running. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Nah. Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of torque to keep turning something that's off balance.
Yeah.
And if you could speed that up, you could get that thing to literally destroy itself. Try this sometime if you ever want to destroy your car. Go outside and find your doggone axle on there. Usually they're balanced. There'll be a counterweight on there. All right? Chisel that counterweight off or weld on a big knot on the side of that deal and then go drive your car like you normally do. You'll notice that first you'll get this strange vibration in your car. And the faster you go, the higher that frequency of that vibration will become until that thing will literally destroy the bearings that it's riding on and rip that doggone thing out from underneath your car. If things weren't made precise, we couldn't run them at the RPMs that we do, because the centrifugal force and the being off balance would create a high enough resonation in that material to literally break steel in half. Am I wrong, Raymond?
Exactly how the two-stage oscillator works. That is the whole principle of the two-stage oscillator. It is off balance, and you want it to vibrate. There again, you're collecting the vibration to the point that it is not tearing itself apart. You're collecting the vibration and storing it.
Yep, and so that shows you, you know, everybody keeps talking about the searching for over-unity. Well, you're looking right at it. You know what I'm saying? Look at the
You know what I like about this project?
Huh?
I'll tell you what I like about it. I'll tell you what I like about his project. It's kind of like watching something evolve, the predetermined, the progressive realization of the predetermined worthwhile goal, watching it evolve, come to each step, and looking at the genius, the way the solutions as they evolve one at a time and coming up to the end. And you know what? If it shakes, I think it's funny. I mean, you look at some of the Stirling engines I made. You got to hold the stupid thing down. I don't care about all that. You know, it's made out of a couple soup cans and junk, you know, and it's got enough power to jump around. You say, well, shoot, you got something out of it. I think it's funny. I think it's great. And heck, I put the doggone gasification, alcohol gasification cook stove up under the thing and watched it really haul. And the one I put on the stove, man, hey, you could hear the metal pop and go ba-dunk, 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 you know. That's hilarious, man. And it's definitely a conversation piece. And you look at it and you can explain the principles by it. And the thing is, you look at it, it's so simple, and you know anybody can do this. And it just means go and do it. And that's the hardest thing to get people to do, is to get the faith to just do it. It's like I tell people, look, carve the prop. If you gap it, then gap it on the other side. Just keep making sure as you do everything, you make it balance. And when it's done, the wind doesn't care about a gap, you know? And oh, they're afraid to make the first cut. Well, that 2x4 only cost $2.76, and you can make two props out of it. It didn't cost you nothing. Go ahead and make a mark. Do it. That's it, man. I love to watch things evolve from that, just from that theory. And watch, you know, just little step by step by step. It's great. You can't wait for the next video to see how it's coming along. I love it. That's what I love about watching other people work. The same thing they love in watching mine. And if somebody wants to thumb down it because you got a lightning bolt in the front of it, allow them to be stupid.
Well, they missed the whole point of the deal there, and that's sad for them, but, you know,
And some people just want perfection. If one part's bad, they're going to thumb it down. So what? They like the rest of it. Don't worry about it, man. You got 2,000 views on something, 5 thumbs down. Who cares? You know.
Well, either way, these little anomalies that I keep talking about are the gears. They're the pieces of the puzzle to the whole deal, man.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you take this piece of puzzle and you put it with that one, you end up with a piece of equipment. You see what I mean?
Yeah. And if somebody does it different than somebody else, well, let's see how it works. You know, it's all knowledge. You'll know what works and what doesn't work, how well it works. You know, it's all information to be taken in. I'm going to have to mute for a minute.
But all the people who have commented or thumbed up are people who really appreciate the things you do.
Well, yeah. You know, that's actually kind of what keeps me going whenever people do that, because, you know, it takes a little bit of effort to get out there and make videos and stuff like that, and so the ones that are paying attention and commenting on there, you know, and saying, yeah, you know, I like this, you know, or whatever, that's helpful, man. You see what I mean?
Gives you motivation to go on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, I appreciate all the YouTube subscribers out there that, you know, basically come to watch my videos. You know, I even got some really heavy-duty college-educated physicists, science folks that come out there to watch just for the humor effect, because, you know, I got the crazy hair and they think I'm nuts, but if they sit there long enough and they pay attention to what it is that I'm pointing out, they're still watching my videos.
Yeah.
They haven't not, they haven't, they
it's
haven't.
Hard to get the point across.
Yeah, they haven't unsubscribed. So, you know, even if I'm just giving them amusement, at least I got their brain moving. And that's the whole key. That's the whole key of Shazoo's Radio, is to get people's minds thinking outside the box. If you understand what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
If you're thinking outside the box, then you're going to be more likely to stumble on to, you know, something that... is going to be the next great advancement.
Yeah.
You know, I would have loved to have been back during Edison's time and Tesla and all them, because, you know, I bet they didn't have near the critics that we got. I'm sure they had critics that thought they were into all kinds of crazy stuff like witchcraft or whatever, you know. Oh, wow, you're gonna go to hell for doing that or something. But, the research that they were doing. I mean, come on, man. It was like really hands-on, actual physical doing experiments. You know, when they blew stuff up, they blew stuff up.
But they were passionate about it. They really were. They believed in their own ideas. Now.
Well, Stephen Gibbons found something that I can use on part of my reactor. He's got these, he found a link on eBay for these copper ball floats. They go from 4.5 to 12 inch in diameter. And so that I can use. I'm glad I found that. I'm going to add that to my watch list, and I'm going to try to buy some of these.
Christmas lich.
Yeah, because one of the things that I had going on when I was building that plasma reactor, if you go look at it, it's got a copper ball on the top of it. Well, the reason why I wanted that was for that to be able to pressurize, and the radiant energy that actually came off of that was impressive. You know, like your normal top load on a Tesla coil, how that functions. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The surface area?
Well, but I wonder if they're thick enough.
Well, one way to find out, the one I have.
Yeah, because they're all pressed, eh?
Yeah. Well,
mass tubes and.
The one I had leaked, and one of the things that if you've ever done any research on, high voltage can literally follow an argon stream and put a lightning bolt in your face. Which is not something you really want to happen.
No.
You know, I feel bad for Ryan, because he took essentially a lightning bolt to the eye off of one of his Tesla coils. Good God, that must have been a nightmare.
Yeah.
But either way, thanks, Stephen, for that link. I saved that in my deal there.
Hmm. Yeah, Stephen Gibbons a good guy.
Well, I'm telling you, that's the whole key, man. Check this out. Yeah, Stephen Gibbons is one of the unspoken knights of the round table and slash mad science contributors. He's always in there posting pertinent links to things we're talking about, and always, you know, comes across some really good stuff. So as far as research capabilities,
man, interesting, he's not as good as if he's on the show, and everybody knows his name by now.
Yep.
He's as much of this program as anybody.
I'm always glad to see him in that chat room.
Steven.
So anyway, you know.
We got him on the show once, didn't we?
I don't remember. We have to go back and listen to the podcast. But, anyway,
he posts great links.
He says, if you're driving a Tesla coil and it gets stolen, it's
it's no Edison. Edison.
Yeah. Oh man. See, that even Edison had some really good stuff back in the day. I would have loved to have been in their mad science laboratory, man. You know, and guys going all the way back to Marconi and even farther back than that, there's a lot of, you know, scientists, researchers that were back in, you know, prior to the 1800s, back in the 1700s that, you know, are responsible for a lot of the things that we talk about today. A lot of these researches that are being done out there. None of this is new technology. It's been around forever and a day. We're just learning how to put these pieces of the puzzle together.
And to make it more efficient.
Yeah. And so with my Mad Science Laboratory, my YouTube channel, I like to point out the cool anomalies that a lot of people overlook. You know, because I say on my channel that it's in search for free energy, somebody automatically assumes without reading the description on the video itself, which some of them may have a question mark at the end of it to question, you know, you think this is possible, all right? Or what could you do with this particular anomaly? My YouTube channel is set there to open up people's minds and spark off discussions and research that using this one specific anomaly, can you literally make a boat that would run off of steam that a full-grown man could ride in based off of how this one particular toy functions? I believe you can. Yeah. So, there's that. By now, it shouldn't be no secret of what I'm trying to do on my YouTube channel in order to get people to the table to do exactly what the five of us or the six of us right now are doing. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
You guys came to the table. You must have been interested. You're still at the table. You must be interested. So I think my job was successful at putting at least a part of a dream team together. You guys are the dream team. Seriously. Your skill set, your knowledge, you know, we ran across each other out there maybe by coincidence, but I was searching for people that had ideas like what you guys got. I was searching for people that had skill sets like what you guys got. And my hopes was that I would motivate somebody like Jermaine to do what Jermaine did on his YouTube channel. Man, I was excited as all get out when I saw him show that doggone solenoid motor. And I wanted to make sure that somebody else saw that solenoid motor that he did. So the very first thing I did, if you go back and look at Jermaine's video, I thumbed it up and I copied the link and I shared it and I commented to him. And here he is. You see what I mean? I want to bring kids like him and everybody to the table that is out there doing the same kind of stuff, using recycled materials, repurposed materials. They said there was a need for alternative energy. They said that there was a need for clean, renewable energy. They said a lot of stuff. And so we actually put together a platform in which guys like Jermaine and Thomas and Justin and Muddy and Raymond and myself can come here, talk about the things that we're wanting to work on, get other people motivated in on working on other things at the same time. There's tons and tons of different anomalies that could be expanded on. That's the whole deal, in a nutshell. We got things done. You know, have we got them done to the extent that we want? No, we got... Dude, we've been at this for a long time. There's a lot of impatience going on. I want to build my plasma reactor. If you guys find a shortcut to doing that, I'll go that route. Alright? Because number one, your shortcut might be very well cheaper than mine. I go out to hire a machine shop to make the parts that I want to make. It's going to cost me a lot of money because the majority of the machine shops out there won't touch a small account. You see what I mean?
You know what? I looked at Jermaine's Windsor's machine. I tell you what, man, that thing looked nice.
Yeah, it did.
You know when you go to the hospital and the baby's born, you're holding it, you're looking in his eyes, and you're seeing the wheels turn in that little guy's head, and it's just freaking amazing. When I look at the Windsor's machine, I see Jermaine. When I see the pulse, the solenoid motor, I see Jermaine. And the thing is, a lot of the stuff I build looks like junk. But that kid, I kind of quit calling him a kid because he's not a kid. He's smarter.
Well, he's smart for a two-year-old young. Buzzard, he is.
He puts out some nice work. He puts out some real nice work. He cares about what it looks like.
But here's the deal. What I would have liked to seen the most, literally, what I'd have took the most joy out of seeing would be the look on his face when he put it together, it looked good, and the doggone thing worked. That one look on his face would have been priceless. Right? And that's what I want to see everybody else out there doing. I want them to
do more about it. It's not what happens and does it work. It's what you do about it.
Well, he made it, you know? And it worked. Would have loved to see the look on his face whenever he realized that, yeah, he did it. All right, now that's what I want to see about the entire world out there. All these people out there that have talents, that do things, that are amazed enough by it to literally take it out there and share it on YouTube. I mean, when we talked about that podcast that I played called Technocracy, all right, there's a deal where possibly sometime down in the future, technology could get so out of hand that it would literally make a man irrelevant. And we're no longer needed, and the Terminator comes to get us or whatever. Before it ever even gets to that, we need to catch up to the curve that the big companies actually are already on. They already got the same technology that we're talking about, but they're monopolizing on it to the extent that they're going to make money off of it. They're going to use it for a control freak kind of deal. You know, if I need something that I can't make, I'm at the mercy of being able to find somebody who manufactures it and will do it. But if we can manufacture it, Raymond brought me a plasma cutter. I'm excited to get out there and start manufacturing some stuff with steel. Things that I can use. You see what I mean?
Heck yeah.
Well, those are tools that never had access to before, but now because of our networking, we have done exactly what we've been talking about doing. Now, I know that we haven't got the holy grail of electrical generators sitting right in front of us because we haven't put it together, but all the information is there. I keep saying, and I know it cost me a lot of friendships or whatever because people think I'm nuts. If you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough for it. Your free energy when you're rubbing your feet on a carpet and wasting that energy while you're zapping your brother on the ear with it. Imagine if you focus that energy into whatever type of material, look at an LED, how impressive LED technology is. LEDs don't require a lot of current flow and resistance. Matter of fact, it don't take much to burn out an LED because if you get too much current flowing through there, it burns it in half. Alright? And so with that said, it don't take much to use an LED to get out some brilliant light. LED technology is really extremely impressive. Alright? So with that said, if you can get that much light out of that little power, isn't that what we've been talking about all along? Make a LED light that you could stick on the tip of your finger and use as a flashlight, just rub your feet on the carpet as you go through the house? I'm just asking. You know, because it is an anomaly that can get work done. Static electricity can get work done. That doggone motor that I posted the video in on the chat room, you go watch this doggone thing run, and you are going to be impressed. This thing, you can hear it hum. I mean, this thing is spinning. And when I talk about hum, I'm talking about you can hear them bearings winding up. You ever heard like an electric motor when that thing winds up? That high pitch whing as it gets going faster and faster? That's what this doggone thing's doing. And he didn't have to reach over there and start it with his finger. No, he just fired the thing up just like an electric motor. and it's running off a high voltage static electricity. So, that means to me, you could build a generator that is so incredibly super efficient, you could take energy off of a standard generator, run it through a plasma reactor, fire this thing up here, and raise that energy up yet even higher to bring your voltage up higher to where you can literally charge capacitors so rapidly that if you're not using that doggone energy, those capacitors are going to start popping like popcorn. You think I'm wrong?
No, 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 no. But that's wasting energy then if the pipe now.
Yeah. But my point is, you know, you get the same amount of work done for less amount of effort. Isn't that the whole purpose of trying to find clean, renewable energy sources?
You know, no.
Motionless generators, I ain't got no doubt in my mind that they're possible. Using just what's going on in the atmosphere or rain pelting the ground or whatever. You know, for every action they say is an equal and opposite reaction. How many tons of water that actually fall in 1 inch of rain over an 800 square mile county, for example? You see how many, like, if it's pouring down like cats and dogs outside and you're getting 5 inches of rain per hour, somebody tell me mathematically how many gallons and how many tons of water would that all be if you had it in one container? Anybody? Nobody?
It'd be a big container.
Yeah, but if you actually put it on a scale, do you think it would be heavy?
Oh, yeah. Heck, a 55-gallon drum weighs over 450 pounds when it's full of water.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of pressure falling. All right, now that pressure falling, imagine if you captured that pressure halfway between you and the ground and used it to fill up a tank that then in turn pressurized a water turbine. Or if you used, like Raymond was talking about, with all the piezoelectrics and you had big piezoelectric mats setting out in your yard, and as every time the rain come out there, it would beat the heck out of that mat and basically wash off the mud off the smiley face that says, "Welcome to my home," and now you're using that doggone welcome mat to literally charge up batteries, and in turn, you're using the light inside your house.
Hmm.
Those are products that we could build. You know what I mean? We could use a 3D printer to literally be able to embed into a softer type of rubber and print it out piezoelectric crystals that you could literally slide inside there, network them together, and make a welcome mat that when you stood on it, it rung the doorbell or something. I don't know. Think about it. There ain't no limitations to where you could go if you really wanted to.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. So I think we are getting things done by talking about them and by reacting to what we're doing. You know, I'm still running experiments at my house. Because I ain't going to quit until I solve this whole deal. You know, I find something better in the process that will speed the thing up. I'm up to doing it, man. Anybody got any suggestions? Speak now or forever hold your peace.
I'm working on the multi-plate Wimsers machine, but now I'm waiting for my pulleys. They're being 3D printed. I got 20 records.
Cool.
I'm going to get some bob cans and cut some sectors and glue it on the plates.
I can't wait to see that done. Go out there and look up static motors on YouTube. There's one specific one where a guy took some cans and he actually made a rotor out of cans.
Yeah, I've seen that one, yeah.
Yeah, did you see how impressive that
Thomas
was?
Thomas Kim. Yeah.
That thing was screaming right along. Thomas Kim, that's the one that did it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That thing was screaming right along, man.
Yeah, but if you offset it by so many degrees, you would have a stronger pull if you have multiple units in a row on one axle and combine it all together. You could make a lot, or you could make a motor that has a lot of pull, a lot of torque.
Yeah, and that's what I believe. I honestly believe that you could literally build a static electric motor that would rival the internal combustion engine. I'm saying that with all confidence, and probably somebody out there saying that, oh, you're nuts. You know, but hey, go watch that video. And you see what that thing, and you listen. See, when I watched Gerard Morin doing the stuff that he was doing, he had a 50 kV transformer, a 25 kV transformer, and he was energizing it with a 2,500 watt generator, gasoline generator. What most people were looking at in that video, I couldn't care less about. What I was listening for was, I was listening for that motor. Every time he turned a load on, I was listening for that motor to bog down. Not once did that motor ever bog down, even though it went under a load with not one, but three 1,500-watt space heaters, a reciprocating circular saw, and whatever else he put on there. You see what I mean? And he's always talking about how energy isn't what we think it is. It's radiation, and the way that he was feeling that 50 kV transformer is the same concept of what I was talking about filling up that Olympic-sized swimming pool and allowing that to drain down into, like, the 25 kV. So that 25 kV transformer was fully charged, even though the 50 kV transformer was probably only a quarter charged. And as long as he kept dumping energy into that, if he stopped pulling energy off of that, you would see at some point that one or the two of those would overpressurize and discharge itself in a radical fashion, just like a capacitor discharges itself. And I'm telling you, I've seen some capacitors overcharged before that you get some serious explosive power out of. I welded a screwdriver discharging an 800 microfarad capacitor that literally took a chunk out of the side of that screwdriver. And you tell me that ain't power? That's a lot of power. So if you could take a static electric generator and you could literally use this energy to on-demand charge up capacitor banks or even capacitor panels or whatever, My deal where I told everybody I wanted to make a capacitor with a 50-gallon plastic drum, and they was all like, what are you, nuts? Because you know how much storage power would be in a 50-gallon drum full of static electricity? That'd be one bag of the bone capacitor, I'll tell you that. So, and when I talk to Muddy about building me a doggone wind generator, I don't want one that has a lot of current flow. I just want one that's going to produce the highest amount of high voltages I can get. If it chased me around the yard with a lightning bolt, I'd be the happiest camper on the planet.
Yeah, you already got fine windings in those. The best thing there is, I guess you wouldn't really need the best magnets in them. But it's the RPMs. How many RPMs can you get them bearings to handle?
Yeah.
Gear that thing up and you can get some voltage out of it.
Well, that's why...
The wiring's not going to pop until you get to its current ability.
That's
you know,
why I sent that
fuses
out,
are rated,
buddy.
Yeah, fuses are rated in amps, so ain't your wiring. As long it doesn't matter what voltage you get to inside there, it's not really going to make a difference.
That's what.
So getting up to that higher voltage would be an awesome thing. You just need to get the RPMs to get there.
That's why I sent that one out there to you, because I wanted to see what that thing could do with one of your props. If you put one of your propellers on there and put that like 20, 30 feet up in the air and the wind, and just let the wind go on that to see how long the casing holds up. It's got really weak magnets in it, and so the faster that thing gets to spinning, the higher the voltage is going. And the only way you're going to destroy that is to short that thing out, you know, and burn up the windings in it. Because when that thing ever got accomplished and it worked, and they put a whole bunch of high voltage just using wind power, it wouldn't mean there. It wouldn't ever be no direct short to it. It'd be running through my newly built plasma reactor that would be energizing that gas into the plasma state.
Yeah.
That was the purpose of sending that out there. So that you could see what that thing could do to take it to the extremes. Now, since then, we found things on eBay that Raymond pointed out, or Thomas has pointed out, that you can take 3 volts and get thousands of volts out of. So.
We took that exercise bike and we put the green machine dual permanent magnet rotor action flux alternator on that thing, and we got out some nice voltage and wattage, and we got some nice RPMs on the speed on the outside of that tire. And I think we just ride that. I know there's another exercise bike. I might be able to use the gear up on that thing and see how many RPM I can get out of that. And shoot, if I have to, I'll just make a bracket that rubs it on the outside of the tire and run down the highway 60 mile an hour.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of fun to see the voltage that comes out of it.
Well, on that note,
I'll do my best to max that thing out until it blows up.
On that note, if you go back and look at the doggone video that I did spinning up a hard drive with a Dremel, that thing was producing some massive amount of voltage coming out of it. I also took it. You remember back in the old days they used to have these little bicycle generators that rubbed on the tire like you were talking about?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, well, I took one of those and I put a little squirrel cage fan that came off of some little electronic that I had. It had a little squirrel cage fan in there for cooling down the processors or whatever. And I bolted that to that little generator that normally went on a bicycle. And so the thing said it puts out so many volts, so I went and bought some light bulbs. Well, I burnt out a 5-volt light bulb, then I burn out a 6-volt light bulb, then I burn out a 12-volt light bulb. When you're driving down the road, the air pressure was spinning that doggone thing at such high RPMs that it melted the doggone tungsten inside of every bulb that I tried to connect to it.
That's fun.
I went around for a long time with that thing connected to the top of my van. And
yeah, I remember those alternators or little generators. You had to put, they had that that serrated type or groove type wheel on the end. It went on your tire.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what, man. That's for the energy that you got to pedal on those things. You ain't getting much out, but they do work, you know. So
well, imagine.
But I hated those little generators because it wasted so much of your pedal power. I didn't have enough wind to keep them things going for a long trip at night.
Bicycle dynamo. Stephen Gibbons just typed it in.
What I figured, if I just dropped the ceiling fan motor on top of the tire with two little forks to hold the axis, shoot, that'd power it nice and easy, and it wouldn't make you drag or nothing. You'd barely notice it was there.
All right, now visualize this right here. I had to use a Dremel to spin up that hard drive motor. Now visualize this. Thomas got a 3D printer. What if he could print out a squirrel cage that could slide right onto a standard hard drive motor, and you could put 12 of these in the grill of your car? All right? When you're driving down the road, if one of them producing 120 volts AC, like I was able to light up a 120 volt LED strand that normally you plug into the wall, and I was able to light that up as if it was plugged into the wall, that's enough energy. You know, if you put 12 of these doggone things in the grill of your car while you're driving down the road, utilizing that airflow that's coming through your grill anyway, you're producing a massive amount of voltage that you could then in turn bleed off into power banks that you could you know, use that energy on demand. You see what I'm saying? And if you're not trying to put it under a load, if you're not trying to put it under a load directly, that thing will just sit there in free will. That's the whole point. You see what I mean?
Yep. You get the voltage out of it, trickle charge, whatever, until it starts drawing amps, it's not going to show any mechanical drain.
It's never going to draw amps if you do it the way I'm talking about. You're never going to draw any amperage off of those generators. You're going to take that high voltage frequency that's being generated, you're going to run it in through a reactor system that's going to take that energy, change it into a completely different form of energy, and then take that energy and change it to whatever your requirements are afterwards. So the amperage is only going to come off your storage tank. It's never going to come off the generator itself. That's the whole point of the plasma reactor. Was not only is it a tuner, we can speed up that frequency and slow it down depending on how hot you want your plasma. You see what I mean? So you don't have to worry about burning that generator out. As long as those windings never get hot, they're not shorted out, then they will never burn out. That all you're doing is using that process to produce a frequency that is going to shoot through gas and energize that gas into a different state of energy. That's the whole deal, in a nutshell. I don't understand why people don't understand it, because if you look at the fluorescent lighting that we use today, it's doing exactly the same exact thing that I'm talking about. It's just doing it in a crude and inefficient manner, because we have to have either the solid state ballast in there or the ballast that have the doggone transformers inside. Anytime you're running a transformer for any purpose, whether it be to charge up your cell phone, you're wasting energy. Ain't no reason for it. You can take that same AC current out of the wall, change it to a completely different state of matter. Your light bill outside wouldn't spin that meter as fast, because all you're doing is basically running the equivalence of a fluorescent light to move energy from one point to the next. Then take that energy off and store it in something else. You're not going to have that back EMF that's causing your doggone meter to spin like a helicopter. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you take that 120 volts AC. Raymond and I's done it. All right? When he was out here, before he shocked the living crud out of himself, we had a little stove, or a little fluorescent bulb starter, and you could literally see how when we spun that thing up to probably about, you know, several hundred RPMs, we were getting over 450 volts AC coming out of that X13 permanent magnet motor. It was 400 and some odd volts. It was more than enough to energize that gas into the plasma state. Once that occurred, until that heat got hot enough to actually click that doggone thermal switch inside there, there was absolutely no back EMF. The moment that that switch kicked and the 150 volt or the 150 watt, I think, light bulb that we were running, maybe it was just 100 watt. Regardless, 100 watt tungsten light bulb came on brighter than it would be if it was running off of the normal current. Could have blown the bulb out. And then when that thermal switch kicked off, the light bulb went back out again, and the generator sped up. But while it was in the process of running that light bulb direct, you could see that generator was falling on its face. It was basically had a electromagnetic brake holding that armature and slowing it down. But the moment that light bulb went off and there wasn't no direct deal, and that heating element repeated the cycle back to the plasma, there was no, it didn't drop to its face. Until it had that actual physical connection for the electrons to flow back into that generator, well, the lens effect never took place. Am I wrong, Raymond? You saw it with your own two eyes. You still there? Huh. He must have took a vacation. Or he can't find it.
He got shocked.
He can't find his microphone. It's the button that says mute, unmuted. All right, well, what do you guys say we take a quick music break or something? No?
Sounds good.
All right, well, we'll go ahead and play some music.
Sideboard anyway.
Everybody, you're listening to Mad Science. Stay tuned. Take a quick music break and come back and polish off this show. Peace and love. Stay tuned.
Man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Because we're some old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. Grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Cause you can't stomp us out and you can't make us run, cause we're the old boys raised on shotgun. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Crap!
Ah! Ah!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free. I want to give the world a mission. He's a baby. We don't have enough to eat. Shoo the children. No shoes on their feet. How's the people living in the street? Oh, there's a solution. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle to be free. Slipping, slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
Of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
All right, so you're back. You guys are listening to the Mad Science Show at www.shizzizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. And that's o.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. And join in on the chat. So with that said... Been paying a lot of attention to hydrogen technology. Been paying a lot of attention to static electricity and plasma technology. Because if you go over to my YouTube channel and you look up on the very top of my YouTube channel, if I can find it here. Ta-da! It says Shazam's Mad Science, the home... The home of high voltage. Search for free energy is what it says all over the place. Now I got conversation going on over Muddy's side.
Yeah, you still owe me a couple speakers for that lightning bolt.
Alright. Now let me get my point out. Alright, so we've already been disrupted here. Alright, so...
Yeah.
When they said that there was a need for clean, renewable, alternative energy, when I got in a feud with the power company, and I made a promise to them that I was going to study every single thing that there was to know about alternative energy, and when I got that accomplished, I was going to share it with each and every one of their customers for free, my YouTube channel was born. From that quest of seeking all the different things about alternative energy, I've found all different types of anomalies. I've found all different types of devices ranging from Tesla coils to Bedini motors to the PAP engine and hydrogen technology. And I could go on for days and days because there are so many different researchers out there with so many different versions of which way that alternative energy should go. You even got some scam artists out there, such as old Keshi out there ripping people off with his version of plasma. It's ridiculousness. But either way, so I'm sitting here, I'm working towards keeping my promise to the power company and keeping my promise to the people that before I die, I'm going to prove to the world free energy. And I aim to do so. Now, focus with me for a second on the internal combustion engine. We know that the internal combustion engine for gasoline engines actually has an explosion going on inside there. Now, if you move from the gasoline engine over to the diesel engine, you don't have that same explosion going on. It's compression going on in that one. You got expansion and contraction. You're actually causing pressure, which is causing heat, which is burning the fuel. So the fuel is burning off. It's not exploding inside there. Now, if you took that either one of these two same engines and modified them, you could literally run both of these engines off of water. And how is that even remotely possible, you say? Well, if you take the breakdown of water, it's hydrogen and it's oxygen, the two things that you need for a burn. Alright, one of them. Now you got an engine that instead of having an explosion or just a pressurized burn, you would have an implosion inside that motor. For every action is an equal and opposite reaction. The thing about it is that now you're burning a fuel that whenever you burn this fuel, the exhaust on the other side is pretty much the same thing that you just used as fuel. Water. So you get water back out the other side. So, using what we've already known about how the actual internal combustion engine actually functions, adding that in conjunction with plasma technology, adding that in conjunction with capacitor technology, you literally have the knowledge and the capability to build a generator that runs on water, has clean exhaust fumes, that takes that energy and then in turn sends it through a plasma reactor system that will change the energy inside the plasma reactor to a completely different state of matter, the fourth state of matter to be exact. And now, in turn, pressurize that chamber with not only heat, but electricity, radiant energy, visible light, and then turn around and rectify that high voltage AC coming out of that engine that is running off of water. Then turn that energy back into usable current, store it inside of a capacitor bank, and now you have DC rectified current that could be put into massive battery banks that could in turn run solid state inverters to run your AC current. So right in that whole entire description is the perfect generator. It's the holy grail of free energy as far as I'm concerned. You have a engine that runs off a readily available material that the earth is 3/4 covered in. You have a means by which to take the energy off of this generator without having to make the generator work harder. You have the potential of recycling the fuel after it comes back out the exhaust run through condensers. Then you recirculate that back up into the engine and burn it again. And from that point, you just take that energy and change the energy that is being produced by the magnets flying past the copper wire, put it into the plasma state so that you don't invoke the lens effect that would occur in your standard generator being under the standard load, such as a light bulb being turned on. The energy is still the same amount of energy. Whatever energy that thing's making at idle speed or even all the way up to its maximum potential of RPMs that it can handle before the bearings start to fail. Whatever the maximum that thing can run at is all the energy that you're ever going to get out of it or all the energy that you're ever going to need out of it. Now, if you understand what I just explained to you, I just answered the question for the so-called energy crisis of the world. You literally have the technology available to you to build the perfect generating system that will solve all the issues of so-called green energy, clean, renewable energy. The technology has been in front of you, the people, all this time. It's actually been in front of the world all this time. The folks at the power company knew it. The folks at the government agencies knew it. The folks selling what they classify as fossil fuel, which is a misnomer, because everything out there is carbon-based, so when a fish dies or you die or everything, trees fall off of leaves or whatever, it puts carbon back into the system, and when certain processes between heat and moisture interact with each other, you get crude oil. So if you stop burning crude oil, it'll start spewing out of the ground again like it did back in the old days. And people always wondered what the heck it was and what its uses were. They started figuring out that they could actually line their canoes with it to act as a sealant between the water and their canoe and them. So in the process of making fossil fuels, what they classify as fossil fuels or gasoline, they found out when they first started off making kerosene, they found out that they had this material that came out of it was classified as waste, which turned out to be gasoline, and gasoline was too volatile to run at that time because they didn't understand its power potential. And so they dumped it down in the ravines. But here we are hundreds of years later, and nobody, you know, the planet didn't get destroyed. That gasoline was absorbed and vaporized back into the system. Nature put it back to where it was and basically made more crude oil out of it. So, there is no energy crisis. There has never been an energy crisis. There's a common sense crisis. If you want to build the perfect generator, we have all the anomalies, all the information, all the tools, technology, and resources to do exactly that when we come together. Otherwise, keep paying your light bill. It's as simple as that. Build the perfect hydrogen motor that can withstand the temperatures that hydrogen can burn at, or tune it back to where you're not burning it so hot. Put more oxygen into it. It's easy. You already separated it from hydrogen and oxygen. One tank got hydrogen, the other tank's got oxygen. If it gets to burning too hot, put a little more oxygen in there. Cool it back down again. Anybody see any part of what I just said that's wrong? Anybody?
No? Well, you're right on the money, bub.
So there you go. There is the Holy Grail. This is what I would love to see us come together and build. The perfect, efficient motor like Raymond started. The chemistry that Thomas knows about and the technology available with that. The terminology to explain it that Justin has, that he can tell everybody else in the big wig world how it actually functions and explain it to them in a manner in which they can understand, which if I'm talking to them is like, you know, blah, 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 because they can't stand it. They can't understand it because I'm not speaking their language. I don't speak, what's that they write in shorthand for doctors? Latin. I don't speak Latin, so I can't talk to a doctor about certain things because they don't understand what I'm saying because they don't understand my language, my lingual, so to speak. So I can't talk to them in technical terms outside of saying my foot hurts. All right, so with that said, we got skill sets such as Jermaine can build stuff and Muddy who can do some mathematics and basically tell you how many windings you're going to need to get a certain amount of current flow or amperage or wattage or whatever. We got Raymond who's a massive resource of all kinds of connections out there in the world. So to get together, the six of us could actually get something done, just like everybody wants, all right? But it ain't up to us, folks. It's up to all the people of this world to actually get out there and pay attention to all these different anomalies and researches, the pieces of the puzzle, put them together in whatever's going to suit you better in your community or energy needs. But if you want to come together as one, and you want to build this generating system that I'm talking about, start jumping over there in the chat room and letting us know. Alright? Jump over there on the YouTube channel. Go over and talk to Muddy on his YouTube channel, or Jermaine on his YouTube channel, or Raymond on his YouTube channel. Talk to Thomas. Join us on Skype. Join us on Shazia's Radio. Join us in the chat rooms. Join us on the social media networks. The information is out there. It's available, and it's ready right now. If you choose to use it. We're at the crossroads.
That's right.
So, I done blew away the last portion of the show. But, if you guys can't find nothing to disagree on, then it's a matter of let's put it into action. Does anybody have the capability to convert any gasoline engine to run on water right now? Yeah, no. We know how to build a hydrogen cell.
A lot of the problem is having a gasoline motor to deal with.
I got tons of them. Which one you want? What size? 5 horse? What? Alright. We know how to build a hydrogen cell. It's a real simple process. We can use electrolysis. And using what we know about vaporization, we know we don't need as much hydrogen as they claim that you need to run an internal combustion engine. And so the key would be to take and modify an engine to run off of water. Prove it. It's already been proven. Stan Myers did it. He didn't fare so well with the system out there trying to patent and get it out there into public because they wanted to shut him up.
I always had the problem of thinking, well, if you're running it on water and it burns and it makes water, you're not going to rust your rings. Maybe. And if you're using oil, so here's the thing. Would it be better instead of oil, wouldn't it be better to use dishwashing liquid as a lube?
Maybe. Well.
Just a thought.
That's not a bad thought. You know, dishwashing liquid has lubricating qualities. So,
yeah,
there's also other...
Foam comes out your exhaust, who cares? You know, just stick it back in there.
There's also other chemistry out there that basically binds itself to metal so that it fills in the little slots in the metal. You know, the little tiny micro pits that you can't see.
The motor's insane. It's foaming at the tailpipe.
Yeah. So what? You got a car, you're driving down a road, it's spitting bubbles out.
Yeah.
Kids will like it. It'll be amusing at the car shows.
The Muddy Mobile.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be like an old Lawrence Welk movie. You guys don't know who Lawrence Welk was, do you?
Smells like fresh-scented dawn. Lemon-scented dawn. Yeah, that's it.
Well, the whole key to all this stuff is everything that people wanted out there is right there before them all. It's there for the taking. Help me build a dream team. Help me get everybody together for a period of 30 days. I'm saying 30 days. To anybody out there who owns a building that can help us to stock all the machinery and all the people in there that is necessary, I'm telling you, put us in there for 30 days. It won't take us that long.
Summer vacation.
With 30 days being maximum in case we run into a situation where it takes us longer to get something off of eBay that we need, or somebody can't run down to the local hardware store and grab it. 30 days with the most brilliant minds on this planet, I will give this world the free energy device that they've been looking for.
And that's right.
I'm putting my label, my name, my reputation on the line to say we got it. Everything we need right now to do exactly what it is that I keep claiming is possible. We know that Stan Myers run a dune buggy around in the 70s with water. Alright, we know that guys have been able to separate the hydrogen and water using radio frequencies and actually be able to burn it on demand using radio frequencies. We know that there's guys and gals out there that have technology and radio frequencies, guys and gals that know about microwaves and materials, about pressurization and vacuum and so on and so forth, glass blowing or whatever. You put me in a lab setting with the most brilliant minds out there, not the ones that are already sold out to the corporations or work for the government. I'm talking about the average Joe who has his own backyard science, mad science laboratory and building stuff by hand out of recycled things or repurposed stuff. You put me in a building with those folks right there, we will come out within 30 days with the perfect alternative energy device that will be self-contained, self-sustained, and basically, without a doubt, environmentally friendly. No waste, no wasted heat, no wasted energy. Every single piece of this puzzle will be used for a purpose. There won't be no waste. That's a big claim to make. I can't do it by myself. Because I don't have the manufacturing skills to do it. I have the mechanical knowledge in my head of actually how this thing would function. I can see it right running right now. I spent years and years out here on the internet searching up all kinds of different alternative energy devices, had all kinds of discussions, even arguments with people about energy and current watts and amps and so on and so forth. Took a lot of heat. Been called everything but a white man for a long time. But I'm telling you folks, from everything that I've studied throughout all this time right here, we can make a thermal, electric, hydroelectric, wind-powered, solar-powered, self-contained unit that no matter what the weather was doing outside, you would continuously have power. No ifs, ands, or buts. It would collect rainwater to fill the gas tank up. And the extra rainwater would go down to feed your goldfish. If you think I'm crazy, put me to the test. Let's do it. Find the building. Find the backers. Organize the deal. I'll jump in my little hot rod and cruise right over there and park in the parking lot and come out there with a big smile on my face. Because I'll know we're getting it done. Woo! How's that mad science show, guys?
It's exciting.
Well, that's the plan. Otherwise, I got to continue to talk about it. I got to continue to share things that I find. I got to continue to do it in my mad science method, the way that I do it. There is a method behind my madness. There's a reason for the crazy hair. There's a reason for all the crazy stuff that's out there. I'm going to be the squeakiest wheel that gets greased if I ain't careful, because the men in black and the government agencies out there don't have a problem rushing in and claiming something to be national security. You guys can't get together in that warehouse and build this gizmo, because you'll run the fuel industry out of business. You'll run the electric company out of business. You'll take tax money out of the government's pockets. Well, ain't that what y'all been hollering about doing for a long time?
Just wait till summer vacation.
Yep.
Okay. Oh,
so, you guys got any last thoughts before we bail up out of here? Anybody? Thomas? Muddy? Justin?
No, not really. I think everything has been said that needs to be said.
Well, I'm excited about the future. I just hope that the future comes in the people's hands. I hope that people are the ones having the technology in their hands, as opposed to being in all the corporate entities out there. And as far as being able to earn a living, somebody's got to get out there and repair these things in case something breaks down. And if you make a quality product that they can get 10 years out of one bird, hey, you may not sell as many of them, but at least you'll still be in business.
Yeah. Oh, I got to add this. Excuse me. A lot of people are afraid to do the experiment because they're afraid of messing up or making a mistake. You'll notice in my videos, if I make a mistake, I show it. That's very important. What's not another part of what's important is not the fear to do the work because you make the mistake. See, people learn off the mistakes as much as they do anything else. And it's part of the evolution of what they want to watch and see. You know what? You show somebody how to do something, then they go to do it and then come to find out it doesn't work. Well, I call that kind of rude that you don't sit there and take care of it. You know, if I got to put the video out there, I want them to know where I make a mistake so they don't make the mistake. That's the point.
Yeah, I'm here.
And, yeah, it's all there. Tell, you know, the truth, the mistakes, everything, that's valuable. All of it is valuable knowledge.
Well, it's all...
Don't be afraid... Don't be afraid to do it. Just do it.
It's all learning. And basically, we got everything we need. We got everything we need to do it. Now, they asked... Society has asked for clean, renewable, alternative energy solutions. Shazoo's Radio...
That's your turbine. Part 2, I show building a coil winder. Part 3, I show rebuilding a coil winder. And, you know, and it's good knowledge. I looked at it the other way. It's just, it was mainly the material that I was using that wasn't satisfactory. And that was actually valuable knowledge. That's pretty much what I was going to get at before.
All right. Well, with that said, that ends the Mad Science Show. Shazoo's Radio, in conjunction with many, many YouTube alternative energy researchers and many other networks out there, have actually put it on the table on a silver platter for you if you want clean, renewable, alternative, green energy that works in harmony with nature. Then we have given you exactly what you needed. Now it's all about organization. Put everybody in the building, give them all the resources they need. We'll put it together, and then we can actually, as a worldwide community, manufacture the devices that are actually put together that prove exactly what it is that we've been saying. Stan Myers drove a dune buggy in 1970s with water. Why aren't we doing it now? They sent a probe millions of miles through space to take a picture of a frozen rock out into space using a reactor system that was out there for 9 years before it ever even got there. Was able to produce 200 watts of power, enough to run the machinery on board of the probe and take pictures and send it all the way back through space so that we could see a picture of Pluto. Now, if that's the truth, then we got more than what we need to do exactly what I said and prove once and for all energy's free. Period. If anybody wants to dispute that, join me on Shazia's radio anytime the show's on. Jump on the microphone and tell me where I'm wrong. Everybody, you've been listening to Mad Science. Peace and love. Take care. Stay tuned for the Knights of the Round Table, 8 a.m. Central to 11 a.m. Central on Sundays.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.